Please keep your Bibles with me to Psalm 61. And Psalm 61 really is a psalm or a prayer when we feel overwhelmed. Now, we all love the psalms, in part because they give voice to our distress in times of sorrow and pain. Well, here in Psalm 61, the psalmist finds hope in God in the time when he was overwhelmed by his troubles. This psalm was written by a man who was walking through one of the deepest valleys of his life. If you look at verse 2, we understand that the psalmist was far away from his home because he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." And he was feeling faint-hearted because he said, "Where my heart is overwhelmed." The psalmist was overwhelmed by gloom and sorrow, and he was struggling to stay afloat. We do not know for sure, but most Bible scholars agree that this psalm was composed by David, because in verse 6, there was a prayer that applies to a king. And so this psalm was likely composed by King David, and when his life was in danger. Have you ever felt overwhelmed, like life was too much to handle? If you have, perhaps you can understand how David felt when he wrote this psalm. We all face seasons in life when we feel overwhelmed. Well, what do we do when we feel vulnerable and lost? Perhaps you are in a faraway place, away from the comforts of your home, separated from your loved ones. You feel distant, alone, homesick and depressed. When those times come, the right place is to go to the Lord, who can help us. And Psalm 61 teaches us three things we ought to do when our hearts are overwhelmed. First of all, we are to call upon the Lord. This psalm reminds us that when our heart is faint, we need to pray. David found himself in a difficult predicament, and he instinctively turned to God in prayer. Look at verse 1. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." David calls on God to hear his prayers. More than hearing, he calls on God to attend to his prayer. In other words, to give heed, to listen to his prayer. When we are feeling overwhelmed, discouraged, weary, or faint-hearted, the first thing we can do is to cry out to the Lord. Now, from the psalmist's prayer, we learn that prayer enables us to accomplish what we cannot accomplish by ourselves. What can our prayers accomplish? First of all, prayer enables us to reach further. Look at verse 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." From David's perspective, he was far away from home. He was as far away from the tabernacle of God, from God's house. But David was not far away from God. So David is weary. He's at a point of despair. And you get the sense that he feels distant from God. And yet, even when God seems far away, David knew that he could call on God where he was. And one of the most comforting thoughts to take home from this psalm, right from the beginning, is that when you have that sense of distance, you know, when you are alone, maybe you are away from your family, you are away from church, you are away from fellow believers, or maybe you are a new believer and you are alone among unbelievers. Well, you can always call upon God with a sense that God is only a prayer away and that he will hear your prayer in that time of distress. And so prayer enables us to reach further. Prayer also enables us to reach higher. You know, David was, as it were, in a low valley, exposed to every enemy, and he wished to be put in a place of safety. And so his prayer in the second part of verse 2 is, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Who is the rock? What is the rock? The rock is God himself. In Psalm 18, verses 2 and 3, David declares, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." And so David looked to God as a rock that is higher. You know, David is king, but God is higher. God is more powerful, more in control. And to such a place of safety, to God himself, David prayed that God would lead him. And so there may be many things that will cause our hearts to be overwhelmed, be it the loss of loved ones, you know, some financial distress, or perhaps the impending loss of a job, the loss of health, or some intractable problem. What do we do? Who do we turn to? Some people turn to pills. Some people turn to the bottle. Some people just try to end it all. But for us as God's children, it's comforting to know that we can turn to God, because we have one much higher than we who can deliver us. And so when we are overwhelmed, let us learn to pray like David. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And so there is a verse of the song that we sang earlier, "He giveth more grace," that beautifully describes this. You know, the second verse says, "When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed before the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun." And the refrain, "His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power no boundary known unto men, for out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." And so when we are feeling overwhelmed, the first thing that we learn from this psalm is don't withdraw. Rather, cry out to God. Now, secondly, we are to remember God's faithfulness. David goes on to recall God's faithfulness and that indeed God can keep him safe. Look at verse 3. David said, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." In the past, God himself had been a shelter and a strong tower for David. And so David remembers God giving him victory as a boy over a lion and a bear. He remembers God giving him victory over the giant Goliath. He remembers God sheltering him from the murderous rage of King Saul. He remembers how God delivered him from the wrath of his own son Absalom. David remembers that in every trial he ever faced, God has provided him a place of safety and protection. And on the basis of God's past performance, David is certain that God will not fail him now. And so it helps for us to always look back over our lives to see how God has kept us safe and has been with us every step of the way. Because remembering God's faithfulness will give us confidence in His goodness moving forward and in everything we come up against. And so David expresses the confident assurance that he will be restored to the joy of worship. Look at verse 4. He said, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." Then he goes on to say, "I will trust in the covert or the shelter of thy wings." Now the expression, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings," is a picture of protection. We have the image of a mother hen spreading out her wings to protect her chicks from danger. Some Bible scholars understand the covert of thy wings to be a reference to the mercy seat beneath the wings of the golden cherubim in the Holy of Holies. The symbol of divine presence, because in this verse, David is talking about abiding in the tabernacle. Now, whichever, David resolves that regardless of what comes his way, what he will do is he will run to God and he will trust the Lord to shelter him and to protect him. And likewise, we all can find refuge in God's presence through worship, personal time of worship, or together as we worship the Lord in the reading of the scripture and also in prayer, like tonight. Now, David Cushing was a pastor who labored for over 20 years in New York. Though only 47 years old, he suffered a paralysis that affected his voice and made it nearly impossible for him to preach and to continue his pastoral ministry. And he fell into depression. But finally, he offered this prayer. He said, "Lord, give me something to do for thee." Shortly thereafter, he began writing hymns. And his hymns have actually reached more people than his natural voice could ever touch. And he wrote more than 300 hymns. One of the most famous hymns is actually on this theme. The hymn says, "Under his wings I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I'm his child." And the chorus, "Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever." And so when life hits us between the eyes, you know, with the unexpected and also the unwelcome, we can either run away from God or we can run to God. We can run away from God into the sinking sense of despair and bitterness, or we can flee to God, who is our shelter and our strong tower. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 reminds us, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And so the second lesson that we learn from this psalm when we are overwhelmed is this: remember past victories and remember that God is still your refuge today. Now, the third lesson that we can learn from this psalm when we are depressed, when we are overwhelmed, is always to renew our commitment to God. You know, as we call on God, as we trust in his faithfulness, we must at the same time renew our commitment to God. And that was what David did. Now look at verse 5. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." David has that complete assurance that those vows and prayers of his have been heard. Look at verses 6 and 7. "Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." David expresses confidence that God will preserve his own life as a king of Israel, that God will restore him to his home and also to the privilege of worshipping in the sanctuary of the Lord. Then look at verse 8. "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." You see how differently the Psalm 69 end from how it began. You know, from the ends of the earth in verse 2 to the shelter of God's wing in verse 4. And from crying desperation in verse 1, now in verse 8, to praising the Lord forever. And David said in the last part of verse 8, "that I may daily perform my vows." David not only was asking God for help, he actually committed himself to obedience, to performing the vows he made to God. As we think about the goodness of God in our lives, what we must do is that we must use the time of distress and also isolation to strengthen our commitment to be faithful to God, rather than letting it become a source of disobedience or distrust. We, like David, must perform our vows to God. And so, brethren, an obedient and trusting heart like David is positioned for God's future blessing. So we must learn to anchor our hope in God's promises, even when the circumstances seem uncertain. We must learn to commit to living faithfully, to respond to God's faithfulness with a life of worship and also commitment. You know, as the writer to the Hebrews said in chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And so I just want to encourage all of us tonight, regardless of what you are facing today or what may come into your life in all of your tomorrows, learn to rest in the Lord and trust him to do what is good for him, for you. And we all must learn to trust God beyond today because he holds our future. Let us look to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word that reminds us that you are our refuge and our strong tower. And yet you are only just a prayer away. Help us, Lord, to utter this prayer that you will lead us to one who is higher, to you yourself. And help us, Lord, in the midst of distress, in the midst of troubles in our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to learn to trust in you, to cry to you, and to wait upon you, knowing, Lord, that you will lead us each step of the way. Hear this, our prayers, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.